Welcome to the Riverside Church Podcast. Riverside Church is a community of believers striving side by side for the gospel in the greater New Orleans area. For more information about Riverside Church, go to riversidelife.org.
James chapter 13, chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Who among us this morning has ever had plans go awry? Who among us this morning has had days go awry? Who this morning has had their morning gone awry? Like how you envisioned your kids waking up and getting to church didn't quite look like you imagined. And maybe you can feel these words of the great poet Robert Burns, who said famously, "The best laid plans of mice and men often go awry." Our life doesn't look like often how we hoped our plans. How many of you, let me ask you some other questions now. How many of you have a 5-year plan? A 10-year plan? How many of you are even thinking of those terms right now and are getting nervous and actually anxious of even thinking about what life holds for the next 5 or 10 years? Just the idea of thinking all of the decisions you must make, even thinking about young folks' decisions and finishing college applications and thinking about where you're going to be 10 years from now can be quite overwhelming. Where will you be? Who will your friends be? Will you be successful or not? Will you be back here or you'll be somewhere else? Will you be married or not, in college or not? And all of these thoughts and questions perhaps have some anxiety rushing over you. And so in both of those ideas, we know and we've experienced, perhaps even this morning, that our plans often go awry. And we also know that even in our best planning, there is still some anxiety that rushes over us when we think about how our plans might turn out and how they might not pan out to what we might have expected. Well, this morning, James brings us more of his wisdom. Wisdom that echoes Old Testament books like Proverbs and wisdom that harkens back to his brother Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And what we're going to see this morning, the main idea this morning, that the posture of our planning matters to the Lord. In other words, the way in which we make our plans matters to the Lord. And I hope and pray that you'll find the Holy Spirit will both convict us, that'll comfort us, specifically related to the matter of how we make plans. Because the Lord doesn't just want us to do things, he wants us to do things trusting him all the way. So let's go ahead and take a look. The first thing that I want you to see that James points out to us this morning, and this whole idea of planning and making plans in a way that's pleasing to the Lord and reducing our maybe anxiety about what the future might hold and all of these things that are swirling around in our mind. The first thing that James points out to us is what poor planning looks like. Listen to what he says again in James 4, verse 13 through 14. So first big point is poor planning. "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will travel to such and such a city and spend a year there and do business and make profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring, what your life will be, for you are like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes." And then James goes on to say a couple verses later, "But as it is, in plannings like this, in planning in this way, it's actually evil and sinful." And so let's make a few observations here about poor planning. First, let's make the observation of who James is talking about. Who is James referencing here? Well, this is likely a scenario that James is using by way of example. And so what James is saying is, come you who say, who are the you that are saying this today and tomorrow we will do this or that? It's likely that James has in mind some businessmen. He likely has in mind, remember he's writing this to Christians who are scattered abroad all throughout the region. And so he's saying, you Christians who are scattered about, you businessmen who are scattered about are making all of these plans. And so the example that James is giving us are probably wealthier Christians, Christians who are able to make plans, Christians who are able to travel, are able to do business, and they're able to profit. And they're able to experience the security and the confidence that there is, and maybe you experience that sometimes, when you have the resources, when you have the ability to make plans and to see those plans come to fruition. Now, whether you're a business person or not, and whether you have those types of security, James is not saying at this point, hey, you can recuse yourself from this. He's just doing this by way of example to help open this up so that we can get a picture of what he's talking about. So still, even though he probably has some of these wealthy Christians, these business folks in mind, it's for all of us who find security and comfort in our planning. The ones who like the ability to be in control and hope that all of our planning insulates us from trials and suffering, as James talks about in James chapter 1. So that's who's doing this poor planning, and really this is a message for all of us, so don't recuse yourself just yet. Then notice, I think what's particularly most striking to me about this planning that James is going to say that is evil, that is sinful, that is boasting, notice how meticulous this planning is. Come, you who say today or tomorrow. Notice how meticulous this plan is. They have the day planned. Like, these guys have pulled out their calendars. They have put it in their Google calendar, their Apple calendar, or an Outlook, or whatever they might be using at this time. And they put the day and the hour. They have the schedule down. Do you notice what? Today or tomorrow. They know when they will go. Seems to be a good thing. They make plans to go. They set out on a trip. They're going to accomplish something, and they know when they will go. That seems like pretty good planning. If you have a plan to do something tomorrow, you probably want to put it on the calendar, or it's not going to happen. They know the day that they will go. And they even know the place that they will go. This is pretty good planning. Today or tomorrow, we will travel to such and such a city. So this planning is getting even more detailed. They don't just have a vague idea of something they're going to do tomorrow. They actually know the place that they will go. Like, they've put it on their calendar. What city are they going to travel to? What region will they go to? What does your day hold for you tomorrow at work? Where are all the different places that you will go? Now think of young folks who are maybe planning their next steps in life. You're already starting to put, like next year sometime, I will go to whatever place you feel the Lord is leading you to go. And so they know the day. They know where they will go. They know the place they will go. And even that, their planning even gets more meticulous. They know the duration of how long they will stay. So do you see this? They will go to such and such a city. Do you see it here? Look in your Bibles. And spend a year there and do business and make a profit. Their planning is getting more detailed. They know the day. They know the place. And they know how long they're going to stay. They were going to stay here for a year or so and do business. And their planning gets even more meticulous. I don't know about you. I'm thinking this is pretty good planning. This is a lot more planning than most of us in this room have probably done, considering what might be coming next week. Maybe you haven't even thought about this in your own life already. This is pretty good. They know the day. They know the place. They know the duration. And they even know what they will be doing. Do you see it there? And we will do business in this place for this duration of time, today or tomorrow, when we will go. They even plan to engage in business. They have a plan of action. Maybe you've heard it said, prior preparation prevents poor performance. They are prior preparing, and they prevent poor performance when they get there, because they will be profitable. Do you see it? And we will make a profit. That's what the outcome will be. They're planning for results. They're planning to make a profit in such and such a city. Like, that is really good planning. Like, this would pass as a really good business plan. And this would pass as a very good one-year plan, five-year plan. And maybe some of you are thinking this right now. Like, next year or the year after, I will go to such and such a college for 4 years and I will be educated and I will, the profitability will have a college degree or whatever your plans might be. We're still under the heading of poor planning. It's pretty meticulous. Pretty good. I would go for this. Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent certainly lead to profit. But anyone who is reckless certainly becomes poor. They are not being reckless in their planning. The way of profit is coming their way. They're being diligent. But notice that James does not echo, even though that is true, Proverbs 21 verse 5, James does not echo that. Their planning is meticulous. Their poor planning is meticulous. But their planning is missing something. And so James is telling us that no matter how precise and particular your planning might be, if it's missing this, you may find your plans to be arrogant and evil and in fact sinful. Do you notice what he says in verse 14? What's the problem here? What's so poor about this planning? Yet, look at the verse 14 with me. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring, what your life will be, for you are like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. It's important at this point to note that James is not condemning the possession of wealth or even wise planning for the future. James is simply saying that if your planning lacks these two things, then all of your planning is poor planning. James is not saying to throw out of your plans, forget your calendars, forget your 401k, forget your travel plans, your college plans, and forget what you might be doing tomorrow. He's not saying this. He says that we need to plan differently than the world plans. That as Christians who are scattered about, as Christians who are seeking to make the name of the Lord known and live under his direction, you must include these things in your planning. The most meticulous of plans can be the poorest of plans when the planner fails to consider two things. Do you notice what these two things, what is missing? The uncertainty of life. He's saying, have you considered the uncertainty of life? Have you considered that your life is a vapor and then it vanishes? That everything that you're putting on your calendar, this is kind of a very sobering thought, right? Everything that you're putting on your calendar might not never ever come to pass. For the Lord knows our days. The Lord has numbered our days. And he's saying, if you are not humbly taking this into view, when you say today or tomorrow, we will go to this place or that, and we'll stay there for this long, and we'll do this and make this sort of profit. If you are not including in humility that your life is uncertain, that you are not in control of your days, that no matter how well you might plan, you cannot see tomorrow, you cannot see the next second, you cannot see the next minute, you cannot see the next week, then you're missing something. And all of this planning is poor planning. Of all these things they're considered, they miss the uncertainty of life, of what tomorrow might bring, and they miss, these things two go together, the brevity of life, that we're not guaranteed tomorrow, and we're not guaranteed that tomorrow might look how we hoped tomorrow or the next day would look. As a song that we have sung with our kids before, and we play on the way to school in the morning, first things first. There's a great little line in that song that says, I will not borrow from tomorrow, but I'll trust you for today. And so that's what James is saying here, that in all of your planning, if you are not considering that tomorrow is uncertain and that your life is brief, all of your planning, all of your studying trends, all of your anticipation is poor planning. So what James is doing, he's condemning this attitude of the mind that enters into such a planning apart from humble acknowledgement that the authority and power to determine the future belongs to God and God alone. Perhaps instead of reflecting Proverbs 21 verse 5, he's reflecting Proverbs 16 verse 9 that says, "The heart of man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps." So that's poor planning. Poor planning can become better planning if we include these things, that understanding that life is uncertain, tomorrow is uncertain, and our life is short. But James doesn't just leave us hanging there. He gives us a little bit more. Are you following with me here? So not only have we seen poor planning, but now let's look at proper planning. Look at verse 15. James doesn't leave us hanging. He gives us the solution. Yes, include this in your planning. Include the brevity of your life. Include the uncertainty of life, that you don't know what tomorrow will hold. So I'm not going to borrow from tomorrow. I'm going to live for today. Have that as the posture of your heart. So James says, you see it in verse 15. Instead, start all of your planning like this. Instead, you should say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. And do you notice the beauty of this statement? If the Lord wills, this is not some kind of magic phrase that guarantees that our trust in God and his providence and will be easy. If the Lord wills is not some sort of magic phrase that says, God, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to tag on this line, if the Lord wills, and expect you to do what I will and how I want it to look. That's not what he's saying here. He's saying our true posture of the heart, true proper planning that will prevent poor performance, true planning will not just be meticulous planning, but true planning that's pleasing to the Lord will say this: if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. True planning is okay with if. Proper planning begins with saying if we live, if the Lord gives us another breath, if the Lord gives us another day, then we will do this or that. True planning begins with this acknowledgement that our lives have a great big if, that we're not in control, that we don't know everything, and it is okay to not know everything. And we have to be okay with that. If the Lord, this posture of acknowledging that we don't know everything, and there's this posture, do you notice here, of acknowledging who he is? If the Lord. I think it's significant that the Lord, that James doesn't just say God here, though that would be proper, but he says the Lord, the one who we follow. The one who is king, the one who is our master, the one whom we follow, we say, you are Lord and I am not. You are king and I am not. You are the master and I am not. I am your follower. I am your disciple. Lord, wherever you lead, I will go. If you give me tomorrow. And if you don't, I will live for you today. So if the Lord wills, there's got to be in our planning this acknowledgement of, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. That we don't know what tomorrow holds. We can't see everything that the Lord sees. We don't know how all of this works out. We don't know how he's working all things together for good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. But we know that he is. And we know that he loves us because we look to the cross of Jesus Christ. And we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he loves us, that he gave himself up for us. And so we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is Lord, that he loves us, and that he has a will. He has providence that we don't understand. So we say, Lord, if you will, we will go and do this or that. Do your days look like that? What does the Lord will? There's some things we don't know. The secret things belong to the Lord. Deuteronomy 29:29. There is some providence that the Lord, some decrees the Lord has that we just don't understand. But we trust him as his providence unfolds in our lives. We do know some things that God wills. He wills for all men everywhere, all people to be saved. So maybe that's where you need to start in following the Lord's will. Lord, I give my life to you. Be Lord of my life so that I can properly plan and say, Lord, if you will, I will do this or that. God has made some of his will known. He hasn't left us guessing. He's revealed himself to us. He hasn't just said, figure this out. There's some things that we can't figure out, like the providence of the Lord and how he's working all things together for good and how he knows the end before the beginning and all of those things that he is God and that we are not. But he has made some things known to us that we need to be saved. He wills, the Bible says, that we be spirit-filled. He wills that we be sanctified. He wills that we do what's good. He wills that we follow him. And so some things we know. So how do we walk in his will? Start with what you know. I know he loves me. Okay. So wherever he leads, I'll go. I know he desires for me to be saved. So make him Lord of my life. I'll submit to his lordship. I know he wills for me to be sanctified, so I'll start there. I'll start putting off the old life and putting on the new life and start asking the Holy Spirit to transform me so that I become more like Christ. And so how do we walk in his will? We trust his providence. We obediently walk in the ways that he has revealed. And we keep taking the next step knowing that he has the last step planned. And you say, but yeah, but I want to know how all this works out. I want to know what the 10-year plan looks like. I want to know how all, if the Lord wills, we will do this or that, and we will live. So we'll just trust what he's decreed, obey what he desires, and walk one step at a time in his direction. So, poor planning can be meticulous, but if it's missing that you are not God, that you are uncertain of tomorrow, and that you are not even certain that you will have tomorrow, all of your proper planning will come to naught. But instead, you should plan in this way: if the Lord wills, we will do this or that. But as it is, look at verse 16, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil, so it is sin to know the good. It's a sin to know the good way to plan and yet not do it. So what? Maybe the Lord has revealed some things so far to you throughout our time together, but let me give you a few things as we close out. Why does all of this matter? Big picture. God didn't just create us to do things and to make plans and to go places, but to have certain attitudes and convictions and humility and confidence in him as we walk the path that is before us. As we trust in his providential care, as we trust in his sovereign control over all of our lives, wherever he leads, we follow. So here's some three things I want to give you. So what? It's big picture. Number one, plan. He's not saying don't plan. Plan. Maybe even plan meticulously. That's okay. But plan humbly and not arrogantly. Maybe there's some of this conviction here, that it's sinful to know how to plan like this and to not plan and to do it. So perhaps God is convicting you of some arrogance in your life that might show itself in your life when you say, what does this look like? That maybe you get really angry and frustrated like me when your plans don't look like what you thought they would look like. When your life has gone awry. And we're angry. Now, not all anger is sinful anger. There's real hurt that goes along with this, I know. But instead of asking what the Lord wills, we say what I will, and then what I will doesn't come to be. We get mad at him for us not submitting to his lordship. Maybe the Lord needs to convict us of that. Maybe there's some comfort here for you that this will help you in a few ways. Maybe there's some comfort that's going along with this. Sure, make plans and do it with confidence and security, but know that the Lord will help you live for today, that you're not guaranteed tomorrow, so that you will live for today, that this will comfort you as you make plans and free you from fear of worry and free you and empower you to live fully for Him today. God, I don't know what tomorrow holds. So I'm going to live for today and know the freedom of today. So plan, yes, plan, but plan humbly. Number two, I'll give you three things. This is number two. Plan knowing that God has a plan. Plan knowing that God has a plan. Proverbs 31 tells us of the Proverbs 31 woman. And one of the most distinct things I remember of Proverbs 31 is Proverbs 31:25, where it says that the Proverbs woman, the one who is fearing the Lord, laughs at the time to come. That this person is so confident in what the future holds that she's able to laugh at the time come. Now, this doesn't mean she knows the future. This means she knows that the one who holds the future holds her. So no matter what tomorrow will bring, as she fears the Lord, she can be at ease. So maybe here's what we need to know. Be at ease. God has a plan. Trust the one who knows the future and be okay without knowing the future. Know that God has a plan. Number three, and finally, when life goes awry, because it probably will, when life goes awry because what happened to you or in your life is not what you planned, you're still okay. It is not as though your life was some sort of choose-your-own-adventure novel, and you turn the wrong page, and now you find yourself in a mess, and you'll never be able to get back to the start, and never be able to get back walking according to God's will. That's not what James is saying. That even in the mess and the awryness that you find yourself in, you're still okay. What happens when your plans don't go when you expect, today or tomorrow? What happens when you don't end up with this meticulous planning where you thought you would be? What happens when you don't stay where you thought you would be as long as you anticipated in your meticulous planning? What happens if you're not doing what you plan to do? They plan to do business, and maybe you're sitting here this morning like, this is not what I plan to be doing. I can tell you 20 years ago, this is not what I plan to be doing. It's a good thing. I'm not like mad about this, right? But maybe it's a difficult thing. And maybe the outcome is not what you had projected. James is saying, if the Lord wills, you will do this or that. So the Lord wills, here you are. You're seeking Him and following Him. You have this humble posture. You're okay. The good shepherd has led you along the way. He's led you through dark valleys. He led you through all this disappointment. He's led you through all this awryness. He leads you through dark, scary, lonely places. And He won't abandon you now. And maybe, as I've said before, you're lost enough at this point to let yourself be led. You're lost enough at this point to say, Lord, if you will, I will start living according to your will, because obviously I don't have all of this figured out. That I don't know the future, but I know the one who holds the future. So I'm going to stop trying to figure out the future. Even in my planning for the future, I'm going to stop obsessing and planning and finding myself overwhelmed and anxious, and I'm going to rest in the arms of the one who works all things together. I'm going to rest in the one, as the old hymn says, God moves in mysterious ways that can cause these thunderclouds of God's providence to break with mercy upon our head. I'm going to start trusting that even when I don't see it, He has a plan. And if the Lord wills, James chapter 1, I will consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when I walk through various trials, knowing that the testing of my faith produces endurance, and endurance will have its perfect and complete result, and I will be lacking in nothing, for my plans have gone awry. So I don't know where you are at all of that this morning, but may all of us leave this place today, myself included, saying, Lord, if you will, I will live another minute, another day, another hour, and I will do this or that, following you all the way. Let's pray.